Hello, and welcome to the Christian Homeschool Moms Podcast. This episode is a little bit different because today I'm sharing the host platform with Chastity Champion, who's also my first and currently my only co-blogger at CHM. But this is going to be a lot of fun, and today Chastity and I are going to be talking about homeschooling and some of the things that we can do to be better organized in our homeschool. So Chastity, I'm really glad that you're here with me today and that I'm not by myself.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So today we're just going to talk about a topic that's really been dear to your heart. I know you've talked about how we as homeschoolers tend to be overextended and disorganized in our homeschooling.
Yes.
So we have four things on our list of ways we as homeschoolers can become disorganized. And so how about we just go ahead and start with the first one?
Well, when I can only relate to my homeschool, and so the first mistake that I realized I was making in becoming unorganized was I really underestimated the responsibility of homeschooling. And especially when I started to consider the other obligations that I had at home, such as homemaking, my family, obviously I had to work as a single parent, and I had church responsibilities. And so somewhere in all of that, homeschooling had somehow, it just got unorganized. And so,
yeah. Right. Same with me. It's just a juggle in life. I mean, we have, like you mentioned, you have church, family, homemaking, keeping the home in order, and then you have the homeschool on top of that.
Yes.
And when you couple all of those obligations together, it could lead to chaos.
Chaos.
Yeah. It really can lead down that road very easily. It doesn't take much once we start trying to juggle so many things at once.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we start with homemaking? Because I'm dealing with that issue right now in my home. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done. There's laundry, dishes, meal planning, cooking, cleaning, seeing after the kids. And there's a lot of also physical exertion that's involved in housework, just the general upkeep of the home, vacuuming, just everything. So I found that although I'm not, you know, we're not completely where we need to be in our organization in our home right now, but we are actually working on it, and we have a system that sort of helps us with our menu planning. So I've got a little calendar, and it's a monthly menu planner, and every week I just go in and sort of write down the ingredients that I don't already have. Usually I have everything on stock in my pantry, but some weeks, you know, if I'm running out, I'll know automatically because I usually cook the same items every other week. We kind of rotate our meal planning and our menu. So, yeah, that's the system that works for me as far as meal planning, and I try to stay on top of that every week. So I don't have to constantly say at the last minute, what am I going to cook tonight?
Like, yes.
What's in the fridge? So I have to plan that in advance. So that's one less thing I have to worry about during the week. And, that's one thing that's helping me.
Well, I guess when I look at my homemaking, right now I'm homeschooling a 16-year-old. And so I've learned the power of delegating a lot of the tasks that were overwhelming me. I've kind of learned to delegate some of those to her, and we share responsibilities. At one time, our household was a lot more busy, and I had all three of my children, but I've always tried to share the responsibilities with the kids to alleviate some of the stress from me. Because when I realized homeschooling, even when the kids were taking classes and doing different things, I really had to make time to plan out their studies. And I guess when I first got into the homeschooling mindset, I didn't realize how much planning goes into, like you said, meals and lessons and then planning field trips. And so I really had to utilize the power of delegation in order to not become snowed under in all of my responsibilities.
No, that's really good. That's a good point. Delegation is something that every mother has to learn eventually if we're going to keep our sanity, because there's a lot of work involved in running a household, and our children definitely have the abilities to help
yes.
us out, and they need to be taught how to they need to mature. So they need to take on some of those responsibilities, so later on they'll know how to help out and or be able to take that leadership role when they have a family. But furthermore, it's just something that we all have to share in a household, because we all live in our home. It's not just the mom. It's the mama and the kids. Everybody there contributes to the messes that are made and contributes to eating the food and everything. So we all need to chip in, and that's something that I am currently still working on with my children, because they're young, but they're getting a hang of it. They're learning, well, mom has a chore chart now, and if I
yeah.
don't do everything I'm supposed to do, I'm going to lose some of my minutes on the computer this week or that kind of thing. So chore charts is working out for us this semester.
And you know,
so.
And you know, mm-hmm. one thing the Lord really had to teach me, Demetria, was to understand that the children, even though my kids were young, I had to teach them how to do the tasks that I wanted them to do, and to give, you know, extend grace in allowing them the time to learn it. Of course, they wouldn't do it as neat as I did, but
right.
over time they learned how to do it, and I couldn't so take it back from them. I had to allow them the freedom to learn how to help me, and I had to accept the help from the children. And that was something that the Lord really had to show me, because at first, you know, if they didn't fold the tiles exactly the way I liked them, I would go back behind them, but that was double work for me. So
that sounds like
I quickly
me.
Stopped.
Yeah, that's a perfectionist tendency that I'm working on, because I know I have to give my kids freedom to do things, to learn how to do it, and it doesn't have to be done the way I would want it done.
Yeah.
But and that's, you know, that's something we have to get past. Like, I know when I allow my 5-year-old to vacuum the living room floor, and I'm like, well, I still see a lot of stuff on the floor, so
yeah.
I have to go back and do this. But, you know, it's just a process, like you said. I mean, it's something we have to take time and teach them and step back and allow them to accept responsibility for it, and allow them to make mistakes while they're, and you know, they're still learning how to do it well. And going back behind them, I guess, sort of defeats the purpose of
yes.
teaching them how to do it. But
yes.
Yeah, that's something that I'm working on. I'm like, our second topic is, or our second point, is becoming too lofty in our goals for our children, which creates an atmosphere of burnout and chaos.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
One thing that I had to, there was one point that where my daughter, she, the Lord had really blessed her with artistic abilities. And so she won a couple of art competitions, and I think pride crept into my heart as a parent. And, of course, from there, I wanted her in the best homeschool co-ops for art students. And I was pushing her to do a lot of things, I think, and it really started to take away the fun of art for my daughter. And so I started setting a lot of really high goals for her. Okay, let's do this. Let's enroll into this program, and let's add this into our day. And before I knew it, our homeschool was going from being 3 to 4, maybe 5 hours max, to where we were working late into the evening. And not only that, we were spending more time away from home than we were actually at home. Thus,
right.
no longer being homeschooling, you know.
Yeah.
And the Lord really had to convict me, because, you know, the Bible says wherever there is selfish ambition,
mm-hmm.
that there is disorganization and all kinds of evil. And so I really had to search my heart and see what was motivating me. And I think it had really become praise and really trying to keep up with what I believed was the homeschooling mentality that I had gotten from other parents and my different co-ops. And so
mm-hmm.
I really had to step back at one point the Lord really just pulled us out of everything to show me my heart.
Right. Yeah, that's that exactly. We can so easily set our goals too high for our children, and it's so easy for parents because we love our kids and we see their heart, we see their passion, their abilities, and we see like years down the road for them.
Exactly.
We're pushing to get them to the excellent point at which we know that they're capable of attaining, and they're kids still. and then we forget sometimes. And I don't know. I think also in addition to what you said, it's so easy to overschedule. Like you were saying, you were gone all day, and we've had that experience quite a bit in the past. I'd say the past couple of months, we've been more involved with activities, and it's gotten to a point where I think it's so funny when people ask, you know, looking from the outside in about home education, oh, how do your kids get socialized? Well,
exactly. That's not
so much. I want to unsocialize just a little.
Yes.
And it's so hard to say no to some of the activities because they're so, I mean, where we live, there are opportunities everywhere for our younger kids and their classes at the youth center and other venues around town. And I could easily give up about 4 days a week to just cart my kids around town, all the different functions. But I have to say no. I have to say, as tempting as it is, it's not worthy of our precious time together in home education. I would rather spend more of the week at home doing the things that we love to do at home. There's so much at home that we love.
Yes.
And when we're out, we can't be at home just enjoying who we are and our hobbies. My children, my daughter loves art also. So when we're at home, that's when she has her paintbrush and easel and she's busy doing her art. But when we're out, she doesn't have time to do those things.
Exactly.
Or to read her book.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So I would say. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you've read the resource by Sally Clarkson. It's called Educating the Wholehearted Child. That's one of my favorite books. And in the book
I have.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In that book, she said, you know, we should commit to one thing at a time. And I took that to heart in that season when it was so chaotic and crazy for us. And she said, you know, one activity, one day out during the week, one committee, she said, and just serve in that post faithfully. And I really took that to heart because I just remember at one point my daughter, you know, she was wanting to do art, and then we jumped into music, and I just told her, I said, you know, you can't do everything and do anything well.
That's right. That sounds like my daughter. She would love to be involved in so much, and I've had to be very selective about what we choose to do and not given every opportunity. I gave her the choice of two extracurriculars this year. So she chose her two, and she's really pushing for more. But as her mama, I know it's better for her to stick with minimal because there's just too much out there. And,
yes.
It would be exhausting for a family to do it all.
Yes, it would.
And that definitely leads to burnout. So.
Yes, it really does. I definitely agree when you say it amazes me when I hear people say, how is your child socialized? Because like you said, in homeschool, there's so many opportunities to socialize. Sometimes you have to de-socialize.
Exactly. And it's really funny. I get that question a lot because I do go out a lot with my kids in town, and I don't stay in within a certain hours of the day. We just go out. Whenever we feel like going out, we go out. So people are, you know, they kind of raise an eyebrow like, well, aren't you supposed to be in school today? Or is school out?
Yes, yes.
It's like I get a lot of that. But, there are things that we need to sort of be selective about in our homeschool just to protect our family. And we have to ask ourselves, will this activity benefit my family more than it will be stressful to my family?
Yes.
So I think that's one important question to ask. Also, is this activity right for this season of my life?
Exactly.
You know, if we have a new baby or there's an illness in the family or something of that nature, we have to really step back and say, look, you know, maybe we don't need to be involved in whatever activity it is, karate or whatever, maybe we need to step back, pull back this semester or pull back for a few months and just stay at home more.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And when we cross that road, what I would do is I try to group all the kids in the same activity. Usually it was something like photography, something that would be beneficial to all three of my children. I try to group them in the same activity on the same day a week. That way all the children had an opportunity to participate in an extracurricular activity, but it did kind of lessen the amount of time we had to spend away from home. And I noticed when we did that, the kids, they were less competitive with each other, and they did kind of support each other more because they were learning the same skills together, and so they would, you know, kind of watch out for each other and have each other's back in whatever activity it was that they were participating at that time.
Oh, that's a really good idea. That's smart. That's really smart. That way you're not scattered throughout the whole week with all your different children's activities.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's a really good tip to try to get all of the activities into one day so you're only out for one day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I was just thinking about how activities sometimes causes undue stress when it's a trouble, like it's a hassle getting to and from the event because of transportation. It's too far away. Maybe it's too expensive or it's too often throughout the week. Also, some other things that can be a stressor is costing too much per activity.
Yeah.
If you have more than two or three children, it can be very expensive. I know families that when we were involved with a particular co-op style group, it cost, you know, quite a good bit of money. And I had a friend who has five children, and she said, well, you know, I can't do that because, you know, this amount of money, 400 times five, I'm not going to be able to pull that off this year. So there are some things we just have to say no to because of the cost. And that's another stressor on some families because they feel that, well, you know, this is something I want my kids to be in, but if I put one, I have to put the rest in this activity as well. So then there's the cost factor.
You know, Demetria, as a single parent, the Lord has really provided for me. You know, there's been opportunities when I have experienced costs and I've wanted to shy away from things. But, you know, those are things we take to God because I remember at one point I really wanted my kids to participate in a class or go camping. And the Lord would open a door where I could volunteer some of my time or co-teach. Or if I agreed to go and watch over some of the kids, it would pay the cost for not only the kids but me to go as well. And so, mm-hmm. you know, don't let cost deter. If that's really what God has for us is homeschooling, I think that homeschooling for Christians or any family, I believe it's just really a call to trust God in all aspects,
that's
even
right.
our finances.
That's right. That's really encouraging. Yeah, because there are a lot of activities that cost a lot of money out there, but God will always make a way if that's something that we're supposed to be involved in, and it would be beneficial to our children. Cost shouldn't be something that causes us to say, well, I'm going to give up on that one.
Yeah.
It's expensive if we take it to the Lord, like you said. I mean, he can make a way for our family to get involved. But there's speaking of family, I was thinking of our next point about intrusive family and friends and saying no to them when we're busy homeschooling and they just want to drop in or that kind of thing. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, one thing I've learned is to use my phone, my home answering service more because people, especially when I kind of transitioned out of the work world into the homeschool world, people assume that because you're home, you're free. And
exactly.
that's not necessarily the case because I've taken on the responsibility of educating my child. And so I'm not necessarily able to, you know, I can't have pop-up visits because I have to be able to maintain order. And
right.
a phone call can throw the kids off. A phone call, I could be in the middle of teaching, and when I go
right.
back to that assignment, it's the vibe that we had when we were in the middle of learning is no longer there.
Exactly.
And so you just have to learn to say no and be firm in that. Because
yeah.
we shouldn't treat our home education as second rate. And that was one thing that the Lord really dealt with me about in the beginning. And so I trained my kids, okay, we can't homeschool in pajamas. When you were going to public school, you had to get up and put on clothes. And I pulled them out of pajamas because they were in a sleep mindset. So I feel like, okay, we need to take this seriously. Let's get up, put some clothes on. We're going to get
right.
a routine going.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, when I think about the call to teach, we are called to teach our children. And just like a public school teacher, a private school teacher would show up at work with a mindset of professional, I'm going to teach these children. I'm going to be a good role model. I'm going to assist them when they need help. It doesn't mean, you know, we have to show up in our, you know, our heels or whatever every day, you know, to
exactly.
teach our kids. But it's the mindset, though, of knowing that we have a task,
exactly.
and that task, it's a calling, and we're teachers, and we really need to see ourselves as not just, you know, well, I'm just a mom at home,
exactly.
and I teach my kids. I give them a curriculum, and we try to go through it. Well, it's more than that, and I've really been tapping into that a lot more this year, like asking the Lord to help me to see my role as a very important part of my children's life and as far as teaching them. That teaching is a ministry, that it's a calling, it's something that we set aside time for, and we have to protect that time when we're teaching
yeah.
our children. We can't let everybody just drop in or, you know, a phone call interrupt. We have to set aside time for that. And, you know, there are things in life we do have to be flexible with, you know, with phone
exactly.
calls and whatever. But you know, as you were mentioning earlier, like it's something that we do have to protect. And, yeah, that's why I love voicemail. And I love email, voicemail, that's great because I can always schedule those in my free time to reply to my voicemails. And I do reply to my friends, you know, when they call. So, and I think it's really, you know, I mean, my friends are very respectful about my time, and they always call before they come over. And every once in a while, I might have an opportunity to do something with a friend, but maybe it coincides with plans that I've already made with my family. And it's so tempting to just drop all my plans and go be with my friends, because who doesn't want a day out with your friends, you know?
Yeah.
But I have to prioritize, and family has to come first, and I do have to tell friends, well, you know, we're in the middle of a science project for another hour or so, but can we meet up a little bit later? And then, you know, just sort of keeping that order is really important. So I like that you brought that up about, you know, there's the point about being protective of our time.
Yes.
And kind of thing.
Yes. And that's very important, not only for our family, but it really sets the tone for what we teach our children, how seriously we take their education. They're going to take it the same, to, you know, as serious to the same degree. And so if
exactly.
they feel like mom is going to always jump off of the phone, then they're going to feel like it's okay to be lax in their studies. And so I have to remind myself constantly that I set the tone for this homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to set, and I have to keep those, you know, expectations of myself and also my children. And
right.
that's, and so I think that was one of the things that I noticed as I began to kind of, okay, Lord, I see that you want me to take this serious and say no and really reorganize my time. I noticed that my children started to really take homeschooling, especially my 16-year-old. She's getting her work done on time, and sometimes she'll even work until the evening, but she's starting to take
wow.
her education a little more serious as I take our time management a lot more serious.
You know, that's so true how they feed off of us. They sense when we have order and discipline, and they kind of follow our lead. Just emotionally, they feel that we know what our goals are, and they follow suit with that. And then if we're a little bit disorganized, if there's a little bit of a loophole in our system, they'll find it. So
I will.
especially with the younger ones, if I leave them for a few minutes, say, I'll be right back to check on you, and then I'm gone a little bit longer than I think I should be. When I come back, they might be dozing off or doing something completely different
completely
than what I started them off with. So All right. Well, how about one last point, which was to how we've, let's see, neglecting to establish and follow through with a daily routine.
Yes, that was the kicker for me because I think I love to plan, and sometimes I think I can overplan and do more planning and less implementing of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so right. I had to find a system and stick with it long enough to produce results. Because not only did I need the plan, I think I was starting to confuse the homeschool and the kids because I would change things. Okay, the next week we're going to do this, and then they say, "Well, I thought we were doing this." And, no, I want to add this now. And so they were confused, and we could never get a rhythm. And so I really had to find a routine and find a system that worked for us. And I was at one point doing time and, you know, trying to take it, okay, we're going to finish by 10:30, and then at 10:35 we're going to jump into this. And I was like, it was going to drive me crazy. So I went from being timed to a routine, which mm-hmm. was a little more flexible, but we do the same task every day at the same time. And that was something that was easier to go with. As opposed to
that. Yeah, I'm like you. We couldn't do the time blocks, 10 to 10:30 nap, 10:30 to 11. That doesn't work for us because we never stay within the 30-minute block or whatever. So it's just better for us to have a routine also. And I think family's daily routines really define what your family looks like. And there's no really set pattern of what happens first, next, and then last. And when there's no set pattern, I mean, nobody knows what to expect, and then things get really crazy. So, I think there has to be some set expectations in order for kids to feel some kind of security to know that they're what's going to happen first and next and last. And, that's what in our home we've one thing we've done is just creating the daily routine chart for our kids. So they know when they wake up in the morning, it's make your bed. Now we've added the new puppy to the mix, so they have to go down and feed the dog, take the dog out, that kind of thing. So we got some new routines this week. Also trying to wake up and going to bed at the same time every night. That has been a struggle for us. We just go to bed at different times, and waking up is hard if you go to bed at 10 one night, but 8:30 the next, you're not going to wake up at the same time. So that's been something we've tried to work on. And pretty much just trying to perform your daily routines at the same time every day, I think, helps give everybody a sense of security in the family. So, I mean, there's always going to be those days when things are off schedule because of an appointment or whatever. But it's great to have a routine. And I think that would help a lot of people knowing how, as far as homeschooling, just keeping the organization, keeping your routine going, those small tips can be a lifesaver. It doesn't seem like much, but little things like what you mentioned about delegating to your kids, like that can help us out so much, take a load off, you know.
Even simplicity, even some of the simple things, using paper plates as opposed to, or you're using your dishwasher a little more than trying to wash dishes, or just trying to make, I know when I started, I tried to cook 3 square meals a day, and I cracked under the pressure.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
No, my dad said, buy those kids a box of corny dogs.
There you go. Sometimes you have to cut corners to save yourself some time, peace of mind. You do. I mean, you just have to. I like the paper plate idea. Actually, I'm going
to
start doing that.
I have to get some paper plates.
Yeah. I mean, we go for so many plates. It's just crazy. Like, didn't we just use that plate like 5 seconds ago, and now we're using another one?
And it creates more stress because you're looking at, dishes and things like that.
Right.
All of that really affects not just your homeschool, but your home environment. And so
exactly.
Simplicity is key.
Yep, mm-hmm. yep. And then also I think one other thing that we're going to start doing in our home is having maybe once or twice a month clean day where everybody in the family cleans. And it's just one big day of just do your room, do the office, do, you know, the kitchen or whatever. And that way it's not piling up and we're not having to, because if we can get to a point where we're actually deep cleaning enough, then the upkeep of it is so much easier.
Yes.
So I think we'll probably add that to the mix in our family. We've just sort of been trying to keep up. So.
Okay. Well, there's a great book out there that I've read, too. It's called Workers at Home. It's by Erin Peel. And it's a Bible-based book. I think that's why it's so life-changing. But it takes the scriptures, and it really shows you how to implement systems that will really work. And it has worked for our family. When I started homeschooling about 5 years ago, I read that book. And I tell you, it was a real lifesaver for me. And I pulled the book out a couple of months ago when I noticed things were chaotic. And I've been just going back to it, and it has really helped me to gain so much clarity and how to get the systems going, how to establish your routine, how to get toys under control, everything. I mean, it covers laundry. It's such a wonderful resource for homeschool moms.
Give us the name of that again, Workers at Home?
It's Workers at Home by Erin Peel. It's available through Narrow Road Publishing. It's a really great book.
Okay. I definitely going to put this on my list to get. I need it. Narrow Road Publishing and by Erin Peel. Okay, and we'll put a link to this in the show notes too. Cool. So that was fun. Thank you, Chastity, for being with me today and discussing all of these great tips on how to get our homeschool in order and de-stress. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
And hopefully you're welcome. And hopefully we'll be back together again soon with another topic or continuing with one similar. So thanks so much.